Today's shir is a Masechta Bava Kama on Daf Kuf Dalad. We will begin on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom of the Amud, with the third word on the line, Elo La'olam. We are in the middle of a sugya here. Let us review briefly what we learned in yesterday's sugya so we can get back into the inyan that we are discussing here. The sugya began right after the Mishnah, where the Gemara made a diyuk. We're discussing the halacha of someone who is nishba l'sheker. He denies a monetary obligation under oath, and he commits perjury. The halacha is that when he is misvada, when he's moda, and he seeks to receive kapora for his aveira, that he has to pay karen chomish v'ashem, he has to pay the initial amount that he lied about, that he swore falsely about, plus a surcharge of a chomish, a fifth, and he has to bring a korban asham. The Gemara made a diuk that this chiyuv, which the Mishnah speaks about, that he has to even go to Madai if the nigzel to whom he swore falsely that he did not steal from him, and later admitted, yes, I did steal from you. If that nigzal traveled to Madai, the Mishnah had said that he has to, the gazlan has to travel to Madai, since the pasuk says, lasher hu lo yitneno, that the gzela has to be given over directly into the hands of the person from whom he stole. He has to travel, the gazlan has to travel even to Madai. So the diuk of the Gemara is that this is only if nishba l'sheker. But if he did not swear l'sheker, then he is not mechuyev to go all the way to Madai and give it to the nigzal. He can keep it in his house, and whenever the nigzal comes, he can take it from the gazlan. So the Gemara wondered that our Mishnah seems not to be going neither like Reb Tarfon or like Reb Akiva, because we have a mechloikis and a b'raisa. If somebody stole from five people, gozel echad mechamish v'eni yadeya me'ezemehen, he doesn't know exactly from which one he stole, and each of the people say that you stole it from me. So Rab Tarfon shita is maniach gzela b'neim u'mistalik. He puts the gzela down in front of them and he goes away. Tosfos on the top of the Amud told us from the Gemara in Amafka, daf lamed zayin amud beis, that it's lav dafka that he puts it down and he leaves, because then maybe one of the five who grabs it will not be the real nigzal, and he won't be fulfilling his commitment to repay the gzela. But rather, Tosfos says it means yaniach achi yisbar adover mihem abaylam, that he keeps it in his house. He lets Beis Din know I have it, and whenever it'll become clear who the real nigzal is, he will come to my house and I will give it to him. So although the words are maniach gzela b'nei mistalik, it really means that he's going to keep it in his house until it's nisbar. We will refer to it as the Gemara does, maniach gzela b'nei mistalik, but we know that it means throughout the sugya that he's going to be holding on to it until there's a birur who the nigzal is. This is the shita of Rab Tarfon. Rab Akiva says, loizu derech metziyos midei avera. Rabbi Kiva Shita is that this method of Rab Tarfon will not bring him to a full kapora, because maybe it'll never be nizbar who the nigzal is, and therefore the only etzah for him to do is to pay five times the amount that he stole and to give to each one of them. He knows one of the five is the nigzal, so if he pays all five, he knows that he's done his obligation. So the important point in the Gemara's Hava Minah here is that there is a link between the Braisa and our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, which says that you have to go to Madai and return it and put it into the hand of the Nigzal, and you have to pay the expenses, large expenses, to return the Gzela into his hand. This is linked to the Machloikas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon. Because Rabbi Kiva, for example, who holds that you, the only way that you can return it, that you can do a full kapora here, is by giving it into the hands of each one of these five, so you know that one of the five is the real nigzal, and you have returned it to him. So that's the same concept as we have in our Mishnah. We have to travel to Madai. later on, at the end of the sugya, the Gemara is going to say that this link is not accurate. But at this point in the Havamina, the Gemara is linking the Mishnayos, our Mishnah, with this brisa. But the Gemara says, even though we have this link, we still don't see who the Mishnah is going like. Because since Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva did not modify their words by saying that there's a difference between Nishba or Loin Nishba, it would seem that Rabbi Tarfon says his din across the board, and Rabbi Akiva says his din across the board. So according to Rabbi Tarfon, it would come out, you never have to return it into the hands of the Nigzel, whether the Gazlan swore falsely or not. And according to Rabbi Akiva, you always have to return it directly into the hand of the Nigzel, whether the Gazlan swore false or not. Our Mishnah seems to say that it's only if he swore falsely that you have to travel to Mare. If you didn't swear falsely, you don't have to travel to Mare. So who's our Mishnah going like? It doesn't seem to be going either like Rabbi Akiva or like Rabbi Tarfon. The Gemara tried at first to say that our Mishnah would be going like Rabbi Akiva. And Rashi explained the reason for this is, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, of Pei Vovam et Aleph, that since Stam Mishnah always is Aliba de Rabbi Akiva, that's why we're going to try first to Zetzain the Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva, that when we're going to see that that won't work, we're going to switch to Rabbi Tarfon, and that's really where our sugya begins today, when the Gemara tries to Zetzain the Mishnah according to Rabbi Tarfon, and that's going to fail as well, and then the Gemara is going to give a whole new teretz. So let's start trying to fit in according to Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara wanted to say that Rabbi Akiva only holds his din of giving it back to each one of the five if Nishba L'Sheker, like our Mishnah, Nishba L'Sheker, because the Pasuk says, La'asher hu lo yitnenu. But if it's not Nishba L'Sheker, then he's moided to Rabbi Tarfon that you do not have to return it. So in our Mishnah, you would not have to go to Madai. And in the case of Gazal Mechamisha, you would not have to return it. Then he would agree to Rabbi Tarfon that Meniach Zeil B'Neim Umistalik. However, the Gemara brought two proofs at the end of yesterday's shir that we see that Rabbi Akiva Shita is that even if Loin Nishba L'Sheker, there's still a din of that you have to give the Gzela to each person. So that's why our Mishnah can't be going like Rabbi Akiva. If Rabbi Akiva holds, based on the Rayas across the board, Bein Nishba or Loi Nishba, that it has to go directly into the hands of the Nigzel, then in our Mishnah, the Gazlan would have to travel to Mare, even if Loi Nishba. And the Mishnah says only Nishba and not Loi Nishba. Now we are ready to begin today's sugya, where the Gemara is continuing to find who the author of our Mishnah is. It's not like Rabbi Akiva, even though normally a Stam Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. Begins the Gemara, five lines from the bottom, third word on the line, Elu Li'olam Rabbi Tarfoni. Really, I'm going to tell you that our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Tarfon. Umoid de Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon is Moid de Hecha de Ishtaba, where he swore falsely that you have to give it directly into the hands of the Nigzal. When does Rabbi Tarfon argue on Rabbi Akiva? That's if it's Loin Nishba. But if it's Nishba, he agrees to Rabbi Akiva. My time, what's the reason? The Amakra. Because the Pasuk says at the end of Parshas Vayikra, La'asher hu lo yitnenu b'yoy mashmasai. The Torah stresses that to whoever owns this item, the Gazlan has to give it directly into his hand. So therefore, the Pasuk there is speaking about Nishba L'Sheker. So Rabbi Tarfon agrees. And in the case of the five people, Einechanam, if it would be Nishba L'Sheker, Rabbi Tarfon would agree with Rabbi Akiva that you have to give it to each one of the five. Rabbi Akiva holds across the board whether Nishba or Loi Nishba, and Rabbi Tarfon holds only by Nishba L'Sheker, like our Mishnah says the Gemara of Rabbi Akiva. What's Rabbi Akiva Shita? And the Masoret Shas tells us from the Marshal that we take out the next word, the Omar. Rabbi Akiva, his shita is, Afal Gav Deloy Mishtabakonis. Rabbi Akiva, as we proved in yesterday's shir, we had two rayas that Rabbi Akiva holds his din, that you have to give it to each one of the five, Bein Nishba or Loi Nishba. So what's the svara? If the Torah is speaking about Nishba, so how does Rabbi Akiva say even by Loi Nishba? The reason is, it's only a Knas Mit Rabbanon. And the Ravid speaks out that even as we saw in yesterday's shir, that Rabbi Akiva Shita is not only by Gzela, but even if Lakach, he bought something from one of five people, and he doesn't know to whom he owes the money. According to Rabbi Akiva, he has to give the purchase price of the item that he bought to each of the five. Says the Ravid, because he should have been careful. He should have made sure that he knows and he remembers to whom he owes the money. And therefore, the Rabbanan not only constant him by Gneva without a Shvua, but even by Lokach without any Shvua L'Sheker, the Rabbanan made a knas that he has to pay it according to Rabbi Akiva to all five. But Rabbi Tarfon doesn't hold of the knas, and therefore Rabbi Tarfon goes only with the din d'oraisa by nishba l'sheker. That's the only time you have to give it to each five. Or in our Mishnah, that's the only time you're going to have to travel to Madai. Ask the Gemara, it doesn't work out according to Rabbi Tarfon either. Rabbi Tarfon michdi. Let us see. Heichad mishtabe in our Mishnah where he's swearing falsely, loy sagi de loy hoida. It must also be speaking that he was moida. And we have quoted this Rashi in yesterday's shir. Rashi from Bamidbor Hey, which is speaking about Gezel Hager. The pasuk there says that there's an element of hoida, vehisvadu eschatosam, that they confessed on their chet. Visvadim es chatosim asher asu, says the pasuk there in Bamidbor Hey. So there, according to Rab Tarfon, when we're speaking about a shvul a sheker, there's also a hoidah. It's not that he swore falsely and the edim are going against him and the bezdin pasuk is like the edim, but he's still in a state of denial. No, it's speaking about where he was moida. If he was Moida, then in fact, according to Rab Tarfon's own Shita, you don't need a Shvua. So says the Gemara, Michti, Heichad the Mishtaba, where are you swearing? Loisagat Lehoida. You need Hoida, as Rashi says, the Kapora of Ashoven, the Karai Dogsim. That this Kapora that you want to do, you want to get forgiveness, and you want to return the stolen article to the Nigzel. But with it comes the Vesvadu, it comes your confession. So my year of Nishba, if so, why does our Mishnah say that it's only with Nishba, Philibaloi Shua Nami, even without a Shua? The Sanya, we learned in a Braisa, Moida Rab Tarfon, Rab Tarfon's Moida, Ba'oim L'Shnayim, when he said to two people, Gazalti Echad Michem, Mon, I stole from one of you a Mon, of any other, I don't know Ezem Michem, from which one, Naisen Lizem Mon, Lizem Mon, he gives to each one a Mon, even though he didn't make a Shua L'Sheker. Why? As we turn to Daf Kuftal Amid Aleph, Shekvar Hoida Mi Piatzma. Because he has already been moided that he owes it. As Rashi explains, he's coming to confess and he wants to be Lotzis in Dei Shemayim. Even though the Bezdin will not be Mechayif him. According to Rab Tarfon, Rab Tarfon's Shita is that if there's no Shvul or Sheker, then he's Manich Lefneim or Mistalik. But, says Rashi, Miu Yidei Oynish Ein Yoytz Achi Yishal Mishneim. But he's not going to fulfill his Chi of Lotzeis Udei Shemayim unless he gives it to each one. Because if he only gives it to one, he doesn't know if that's the right one. If he holds it, he's not returning it to anybody. So the only way he could for sure be Yoytz Udei Shemayim is if he gives it to each one. So Rab Tarfon argues on Rab Akiva Mitzad Adin. Mitzad Adin says Rab Akiva that even when you're not Nishba L'Sheker, you have to give it to each one. Mitzad Adin. But Rab Tarfon says no. Mitzad Adin you don't. But if he's coming and he's Moida and he's seeking to find a kapora, forgiveness for his avera. The only way he could for sure get kapora is if he gives it to each one, and that Rab Tarfon himself is moida. So once you're coming on to Shvua Sheker in our Mishnah, you have to include Oidah. If you're including Oidah, Rab Tarfon's sheet in fact is that Oidah alone is enough to make him obligated to return it to each one. Say, if so, in the case of Modai, since we have a link, as we said at the beginning of the Shir, the Gemara is now in the Havamina, that there's a link, whatever the din is by Gozom from five people, Mechamisha, the same halacha will be concerning Modai. If I have to return it to be Lotzes Dei Shemayim to each of the people that I that might be the Nigzel in the case of five people or two people, I have to give it to each one. So in the case of Modai, I have to go to Modai, even without a Shua, based on the Ido itself. So Memela or Mishnah doesn't fit in like Rab Tarfon either. Ella Amarava, Ella Rava comes up and says a new answer. we'll speak the answer out loud before we read it inside, based on what Rashi explains. Rava says that we've made a few mistakes here, and if we get it straight, we have a beautiful answer. The first mistake is there is no link. There's two separate cases. The Brisa and the Mishnah are not linked as we thought. We thought that if you have to give it to each one back by Gozo Mechamisha, Huadin, you have to go to Madai. You have to bring it into the hands of the Nigzal to fulfill the Pasuk Lasher, Hu Lo Yitmenu. You have to give it directly into his hands. The Gemara is saying now, according to Rava, no, there's no link. Why? Because there's a major difference between the Mishnah and the Brisa. In the Mishnah's case, I know from whom I stole it. I know to whom I have to return it. So there, both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon will agree to our Mishnah. Because Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon are speaking about where I don't know from whom I stole it. And there they're going to have a machloikis. Mitzara din, what the din is. We'll soon see what that machloikis is. But in our Mishnah, they all agree. They all agree because our Mishnah is speaking about, I know from whom I've stolen. So now the only thing is, he moved to Madai. So I can tell Bezdin, look, I have it in my house. Whenever he comes back from Madai to this city here, it's in my house, and I'll be happy to return it to him. So if he didn't swear falsely, we could say that the Nigzal is like, so to say, saying to him, even though he doesn't articulate this, but he's telling him, you know what? I'm traveling to Madai, you hold it as a pekodin until I come back from Madai. So then, I don't have to return it to Madai. I have it as a pekodin. But if I was nishba l'sheker, so then, even though he may have been telling me, without articulating it, he might be saying, non-verbally telling me, you keep it as a pekodin. But the fact is, if I want to have kapora, now that I swore falsely and I was moida and I want to get kapora, so ain't a chanami, then I have to travel to Madai. That's when the Torah is telling me, it doesn't matter that he wants to leave it by you as a bekadin. We want you to bring the Dover HaNigzel to him to Madai, Lasher Hu Lo Yitmenu, in order to receive the kapora that you are seeking. So that is a halacha that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon will agree to. Where is the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon when I don't know from whom I stole it? So then Rabbi Akiva says it doesn't make sense to say that he's giving it to you as a pekodin. Who's giving it to you? You don't even know from whom you have stolen it. So there the only etzah is, according to Rabbi Akiva, mitzad adin, in order to fulfill your obligation, you have to give it to each one. Rabbi Tarfon disagrees and says, no, mitzad adin, I can keep it until it's this borrower who is the real Nigzel. I can hold it by me until he proves that he's the real Nigzel, and then I'll give it to him. But Rabbi Tarfon is also moide, as we just saw in the last brisa, that we at the end of Kuf Gimel Amud Beis that went on to the top of Kuf Dal Amud Aleph, that Einich Nami, if he's moide and he's coming to get forgiveness, then Latzis L'Dei Shemayim, even Rabbi Tarfon will be moide, that the only Eitzah is that he's going to give it to each one. Or else, if he gives it only to one, maybe he's giving it to the wrong one. But Mitzad Adin, Rabbi Tarfon argues on Rabbi Akiva, he's not Mechuyiv, Bezdin can't force him to give it to each one. So in our Mishnah, where we know who he stole it from, there's a chilek, whether he swore falsely where he has to go to Madai, or he didn't swear falsely, and then he can keep it in his house as a pekodin. And Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva both agree to that. And however, where's the machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, where we don't know from whom he stole it? There Rabbi Akiva holds mitzad adin, he has to give it to each one. And Rabbi Akiva holds this both if he swore falsely or he didn't swear falsely. What the Gemara before wanted to make a chilek, according to Rabbi Akiva, between swearing falsely or not swearing falsely, is there is no chilek. Rabbi Akiva holds in all cases, mitzad adin, he has to give it to each one. And Rabbi Tarfon again holds in all cases, whether nishba l'sheker or not nishba l'sheker, that he does not have to give it mitzad adin. But ein echanami lotzis l'dei shemayim, then he agrees to Rabbi Akiva that he's going to have to give it to each one. Let us see it inside, and then we will speak out a kasha of Tosfos here and a teretz of Tosfos. Let's see the Gemara inside. El Amar Rava, Shiny Masnisen, our Mishnah is different, that Rabbi Kehiva and Rabbi Tarfon will both agree to our Mishnah. The Kehiva de Yad Laman Gazli, he knows from whom he stole it. Va'oidele, and he confessed. Kehiva de Efshel Adurim Amayna Lamare, since he's able to return the money to the person that he knows is the owner of this chayfetz, havale kamanda amale. So if he doesn't swear falsely, then it's as if the person who traveled to Madai told him, you li biyotcha, you should keep it as a pikadon, that which you stole from me. Hilkach, nishba, if he swore falsely, afagav de karmale you li biyotcha, even though it's non-verbally, as if the person who went to Madai told him, keep it meanwhile as a pekadon until I come back from Madai. It doesn't matter. But keep it the boy kapor, since the Torah is saying, you want kapor because you were moida, that you swore falsely. So loy sagad matliyade. That's when the Torah is telling us, exer sakasov, la sher hu loyit manner, that you have to go there to Madai and give it to him. But if you didn't swear falsely, havigabe pekadon, then in the Chanami, it's considered that non-verbally he is telling you, keep it as a pekadon, adasi v'shakulei, until I'll come and take it. So the Gemara speaks out the part of our Mishnah where Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon both agree to. What the Gemara does not speak out, and Rashi speaks out, is the other part, that if it's loy noida, we don't know from whom he stole it, then there's a machloek between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon mitzad adin, and both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon hold across the board their shita, namely that Rabbi Kiva holds you have to give it back to each one. Rabbi Tarfon holds mitzad adin, you don't have to give it to each one. Rabbi Tarfon's moida that lotzis l'day shemaim, you do have to give it to each one. And on this Tosfos in Divrei HaMashgil, Shekvar Hoyde B'Piatzmai asked, we had a story in yesterday's, at the end of yesterday's shir, Maisa de Chosid Echad, that he took from two people, and he didn't know from whom he took, and he went to Rabbi Tarfon, and Rabbi Tarfon told him that you don't know who you owe the money to from the purchase, just leave it over there. And according to Rabbi Kiva, said, no, you have to give it to each one. Ask Tosfos, if Rabbi Tarfon is moided to Rabbi Kiva by Lotzis de Shemayim, but when he's moide that you have to give it to each one, so certainly the chassid wants to be lots of day shemayim. So what's Rav Tarfon telling him that you maniach b'neim u'mistalek? Tosfos gives two terutz. The first terutz is that even though Rav Tarfon might know that he's dealing with Rav Yehuda ben Bava or Rav Yehuda ben Rabbi Loi, who are chassid, but first he has to tell him what's the din. Then we can go on to the in Yana de Chassidus. That's further. But the first approach, Rav Tarfon says, listen, this is the din. So what our Gemara is relating is what Rav Tarfon told me. It's not a din. It's not a din. I disagree with Rabbi Kiva. You're not mechuyev to give it each one. Ein echanami, you're a chassid. You want to do lufnim yishur a din. Okay, that's the next step. Second teretz that Tosfos says is perhaps there's not even an inyan over here, even according to Rav Tarfon, to be lotzeis l'day shemayim, because since it was an inyan of mekach, when is there an inyan of lotzeis l'day shemayim to receive kapara? That's if a person stole. So by stealing, ein echanami, Rav Tarfon agrees to Rabbi Kiva that lotzeis l'day shemayim, you have to give it to each one. But if it's a mekach where he doesn't remember to whom he owes the money, perhaps Tosfos suggests that even this chassid, lotzeis l'day shemayim, would not have to give it to each one, and he could be maniach b'neim u'mistalek, and that would cover the lotzeis l'day shemayim as well. Tosfos at the end says an interesting thing. Ve'ein laharach kan b'sugya d'hasim. This is a sugya in Hamafkid, and we've spoken enough on this sugya, ein laharach, because it's really the main sugya is in Hamafkid. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of our Mishnah. Lo yitain, the gazlan should not give it. Lo yibnoi, not to the son of the nigzel. Veloy l'shluchoi, and not to his shliach, because if an oinus happens and it gets lost and it doesn't come to the hands of the nigzel, the gazlan will have to repay it again. Itmor, we have learned, shliach sh'aso be'edim. As Rashi explains, if Shimon owed money to Reuven, and Reuven made a shliach Levi in front of Edim, however, he did not instruct Shimon Beferish to pay the money to the shliach. And then the shliach came to Shimon. And the shliach says to Shimon, you owe money to Reuven, I'm here to collect it. And Shimon gives the money to Reuven shliach, and something happens, annoyingness happens, and it doesn't reach the hands of Reuven. The Shaila of Agamor is it considered that when Levi, the shliach, got it into his hands from Shimon, it's as if Reuven got it? We have the klal shluchi shalom kamaisai. Or do we say no? For some reason, as we're going to see, it's not considered as if Reuven received it yet, and therefore there was an oinus, Shimon would have to repay it to Reuven. Rav Chizdomer, in this case of shliach shasabeidim, Rav Chizdomer having shliach, it is a shliach, and therefore, if an oinus happens, Shimon is potter. When he gave it to Levi, it's as if Reuven got it. Rav Amar lo shliach, Rav says, it is not considered a shliach. And if an oinus happens, he has to repay it to Reuven. Rav Chizdomer havi shliach, even though he didn't give beferish instructions to Shimon to give it to his shliach Levi, lahachi tarchi, that's why Reuven went to the bother, v'ukme be'edim, and he made the shliach in front of Edim, delekir b'shusay, because he wanted it to stand in the reshus of the malva of Reuven as soon as it was put into the hands of Levi. That's why he did it in front of Edim. So it is considered a shliach, and Shimon is potter if an oinus happens and it didn't get to Reuven's hand. Rabbi says it's not, he did not mean to make him a shliach, that meaning that as soon as it gets into Levi's hands, it's considered as if it got into Reuven's hands. Hachikamer, this is all he wanted to say in front of the Edim. Inish Mehemnu, I'm telling you, he's a trustworthy person, Levi. If you want to rely on Levi, be Simach. If you want to send it through him, I'm not telling you to send it to him. If you want to, so then like maybe he's going to be your shliach, but he's not my shliach. I don't consider it paid up until I get it in my hand. I'm just letting you know in front of Adam that he's a reputable person, that if you want to trust him, you can send it through him. But not that I want it to be considered that the second it comes into Levi's hands, it's as if it came into Reuven's hand. And therefore, Rab is of the opinion, he's not a shliach, and if an oinus happens, Shimon will have to repay it to Reuven. Tanan, the Gemara is going to ask a question on Rav Chizda from a Mishnah in Bava Metzia, Daf Tzadik Ches Amid Beis. Hashoyel es haporah, if somebody borrows a porah. The Shilcha and the Mashil, the one who was lending the poor, sent it Biyad Benoi through his son, the son of the Mashil, or Biyad Avdoi through the Eved of the Mashil, or Biyad Shluchoi, or the Shliach of the Mashil. Oi, or the Mashil sent it Biyad Benoi through the son of the Shoyel, Biyad Avdoi through the Eved of the Shoyel, Biyad Shluchoi Shal Shoyel, or through the Shluch of the Shoyol, Umeso, and en route, the cow died, Potter. The Shoyol is Potter. We know that a Shoyol is Chayiv even for Einstein, but it first has to come into his Rishus. In all of these cases, it is not yet considered in the Rishus of the Shoyol when it was sent, either through the representatives of the Mashal or through the representatives of the Shoyal. So the Gemara now analyzes, Hai Shluchai Hechidami, this Shliach of the Shoyal, what is exactly the case speaking about? Where we say that the Shoyal is Potter. Idoloi Asbe Edim, if the Shoyal did not make him a shliach in front of Edim Minoyadinen. How can we consider him, as Rashi explains, the shliach of the shoyel, when no one knows that he trusts this person, that the person is nemon to the shoyel to accept this cow on his behalf? So from where do we get to say that this person is a shliach of the shoyel, unless there were Edim? Ella, it must be, the osab Edim, that he did it in front of Edim. In other words, he did not tell the Mashal, he didn't give instructions to the Mashal, please give this cow into the hands of my representative. However, what he did do is the case that we had a machlokas between Rav Chizda and Rabbah, that he said in front of Edim that this person would be a trustworthy person to receive the cow and Uktani the potter. And even though he said this in front of Edim, we learned that he's potter, which means that he is not considered a full-fledged shliach. As long, Rashi speaks out, that the only way it would be considered a full-fledged shliach in Rashi Divrei HaMaskil Potter, Ad sheyomer loy mipiv. And with the way Tosfos in Divrei HaMaskil Shliach she'asoi, at the end of the Tosfos, he says, Lekach tzorach loymer, de b'chol inyan sheloy b'fonav loy avi shliach, Ad sheyomer loy b'fonav shlach li al yodai. And then he concludes, that's the way Rashi holds also. Tosfos and Rashi Shita is that the only way it would be considered to be a full-fledged shlichus is if the shoyel, peh, face-to-face, to the mashal, told the mashal, I want you to give the cow over in the through the hands of this shlich that I am designating. The Rosh and other Rishonim disagree with Rashi and Tosfos, and they hold that even if the shliach of the shoyel comes to the mashal and says that the shoyel instructed me to receive the cow, to bore the cow from you, that that is also acceptable. It's not necessary, face to face, for the shoyel to tell it to the mashal. But where we're up to in the Gemara says, the chayra from that mission in Bava Metzia, we have a kashram of Chizda. Because as we proved, it must be a case of a shliach that was done in front of Edim, and yet he's not considered a full-fledged shliach, kashal Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda holds by the fact that he bothered himself to say this in front of Edim, he was trying to say that I am making him a shliach. And therefore, that din should be chayiv. In the case, we just have to take in mind that in the case of shoyel and mashal, if it is considered a shliach, then the shoyel would be chayiv in oinsin when it comes into the hands of the shliach. If it's not considered a shliach, then the shoyel is potter. In the case of the loiv and the malva, which was the machloikas Rabban Rab Chizda, there it comes out the reverse. If the malva shliach is considered a shliach of the malva, then the loiva is potter when he gives the money to the malva shliach. If we hold that it's loy osa shliach, if it's not considered the malva shliach, then the loiva is chayiv if an oinus happened after he gave it into the hands of this person, because he's not considered the malva shliach. It's not considered that it reached the malva. So what the Gemara is asking, since over here in the case of Shoyel and Mashal, we say that the Shoyel is Potter, so that indicates that he's not the Shliach of the Shoyel. If so, in the case of the Loiva Malva, if he's not the Shliach, then the din would be that the Loiva would be Chayiv if he gave it to this person. It's not considered that it reached the hands of the Malva. Kashal Rav Chizda answers the Gemara, Kedomer Rav Chizda, as Rav Chizda is going to answer on the next piece of Gemara, which is related to our mission on Kuf Gimel Amid Aleph, and there for a similar question, Rav Chizda gave an answer. It's speaking about a hired hand, which Rashi says either for the day or the week or the month or the year, or Velikitoi. Rashi has two pshatim. The first pshat in Rashi, Lashon Moiri, from his Rebbe, is Latzafsa Ba'alma. In other words, it's a companion that he gathered into his house. Someone is in his house for companionship. Or the second pshat Rashi says, Lishnachrina, is Loike Tvuasoi, somebody who gathers in his Tvua, which means that these are people that do the errands of this person, but they're not considered designated shlichim. So that in that case, the halacha would be, by the case of shoyel and mashal, that if the mashal gave it over to this chiro elakitoi, it's not considered that he is a bona fide official shliach of the shoyel, and therefore the din is potter. But ein echanami Rav Chizda holds that if it would be in front of Edim, then he would be considered a bona fide shliach of the shoyel, and then if an oinus happened, the shoyel in fact would be chayiv. That's how Rav Chizda is going to answer this Mishnah in Bava Metzia. Hachanami, so just like Rav Chizda answers it concerning the Mishnah on Kuf Gimel, as we'll see in the next piece of Gemara, Hachanamig b'schira l'kitoi. Here also, Rav Chizda will give the same teretz of schiroi and l'kitoi. And now the Gemara asks from our Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Amid Alf. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Loyitain, in the case of a person who swore falsely, and now he wants to do tshuva, and he admits that he stole this item, he has to go to Madai, as the Mishnah told us. However, he should not give it to the son of the nigzal or to his shliach. because if an oinus happened, he would have to repay again the value of the thing that was stolen to the nigzel. So hai shluchay hechidami, this shliach, which we don't consider an official shliach of the nigzel, what's the case? And it's similar to what we had in the Gemara before. Either lo yasu be'edim, if the nigzel did not establish him as a shliach in front of Edom in Oyadinan. So how can we give him a title of being a shliach? How do we know, in fact, that he trusts him to receive the money on his behalf and that he could be called a shliach? Elulav, if we call him a shliach, it must be the sobeidim. It must be that the nigzel said, he didn't make this up with the gazlan. He didn't officially tell the gazlan, pal, peh, face to face, I want you to give the money to my shliach, because then, of course, as soon as it comes into the hand of the shliach, it's considered as if it came into the hand of the nigzel. However, he, in front of Edom, he said that this is a person who I would accept money, I would trust him. And yet, the Mishnah says, it's not considered as if it came into the hand of the Nigzel. So, L'chaira, it's Shver on Rav Chisda, who holds that it is considered in front of Edom as if it is the Shliach. So why does the Mishnah say you shouldn't give it to the Shliach? Tergum Rav Chisda. Here is where Rav Chisda explained the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is speaking b'schira l'kitoy. And that's what the Gemara in the piece before said, the same like Rav Chisda gives his teretz here, so he will answer the Mishnah in Bava Metzia. So by schira l'kitoy, they are people who do errands for the Nigzel, but they're not considered official Shlichim for the Nigzel. Avo Shliach she'asu be'edim. So the Gemara says, but what are you telling Rav Chisda, that if in fact the Nigzel made this Shliach in front of Edom, even though he didn't make up with the gazlan that he should send it to the shliach? My hachanami davi shliach, are you saying that it would be considered a shliach? So I have a kasha on that. Adatani seifa, it says in the seifa of our Mishnah, aval nois nulu shliach bezdin, that if it's given over to a shliach bezdin, then it is considered as if the nigzel got it, and if there's any oinus, the gazlan would not have to pay again to the nigzel. So why do we have to come on to a case of shliach bezdin? Lifloi velisni bididei. Let us make a distinction in the case of Shliach itself, without going on to the case of a new case of Shliach Bezin. And now we'll put in the words of the Bachir, Bamed Vorim Amurim, when do we say that you shouldn't give it over to the Shliach? It's not considered as if it reached the Nigzal B'Shliach Shloyos of Edom, if he didn't appoint him in front of Edom. Avo Shliach Shoso B'Edom, continues our Gemara, but a Shliach that was made in front of Edom, even though he didn't make it up with the Gazlan, the din would be hachinami the havi shliach, that it would be a shliach. So why do we come onto a new case of shliach bezdin? We could have a case of shliach be'edim, which according to Rav Chisda would be a good shliach, that the gazlan could give it over if the nigzal appointed the shliach in front of Edom. Amri, so I'll give you an answer. You know why we wouldn't do that according to Rav Chisda? Because leipsikalei, it's not an absolute din. The Tan of our Mishnah wanted to make a din which applies to all cases. But this din of Shliach Be'edim would only apply in certain cases. Shliach Bezin, by Shliach Bezin, Loishnaso, Nigzel, there wouldn't make a difference whether the Nigzel appointed the Shliach Bezin, Loishnaso, Gazlan. It wouldn't make a difference if the Gazlan is the one who went to Bezin and said, I want to have a Shliach, an official Shliach from the Bezin. In all cases, Havi Shliach. Once he received it, it's as if the Nigzel received it. And then all responsibility falls away from the Gazlan. So that's psikale. Since it wouldn't make a difference who established him as a Shliach Bezin, the Nigzel or the Gazlan, that's why it's written in the Mishnah. But in your case of Rav Chisda, that Shliach Shas Obeidim, even though there are certain circumstances where this would be considered a shliach, but it's not psika, because it's only the chiosoi nigzel hudavi shliach. If the nigzel made him in front of Edom, then it's considered a shliach. But also gazlin, but if the gazlin is the one who made him a shliach in front of Edom, loyavi shliach, then he's not considered a shliach. It's only if the nigzel says that I will accept this person, I trust him to receive it on my behalf, even though he didn't make it up with the gazlan, if the gazlan gave it to that person, it's considered as if the, according to Rav Chisda, in front of Edom, it's considered as if the nigzel got it. But if the gazlan is the one who's going to say that I'm going to send it with this shliach, even if he does it in front of Edom, it's not a good shlichas. So leipsikalei, it's not across the board a case, an absolute psak, and that's why he didn't want to get into the case of shliach be'edim, and rather he made the case of shliach bezin, which is psika. Now this, which we just learned, that by Shliach Bezdin, it works in all circumstances, whether the Nigzel appoints him or the Gazdin appoints him, Lafukim Ahai Tana, this is excluding the following Tana, the Sani we learned in the Brisa, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Eimer, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, the only time that the Gazdin would be Potter, if it was given over to a Shliach Bezdin, is in the following two cases. Either Shliach Bezdin she'asoy Nigzel, v'loy asa Gazlan, if the Nigzel did it and not the Gazlan, oy asa Gazlan, or even if the Shliach Bezdin was made for, by the Gazlan. But v'sholach halah, the Nigzel sent his own Shliach, v'natal ha'shloy miyadoy, and the Nigzel Shliach took it from the hands of the Gazlan Shliach Bezdin, then the Gazlan is potter if an oinus happened. As Rashi says, what can we deduce? That if the Nigzel did not send his own Shliach to get it from the Shliach Bezdin that the Gazlan appointed, then ain't the Hanami, it is not considered a good Shliach, and if an oinus happened, the Gazlan would be chayiv. So we see that this which we just learned, that it's psikalei, that it doesn't matter by Shliach Bezdin whether the Nigzel or the Gazlan appoints him, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that is not accurate by Shliach Bezdin. It's also not psikalei, because it's only if the Nigzel appoints him and not the Gazlan. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Damar Tarvayu, they both said, Shliach Shasub Edom Havi Shliach, they hold like Rabbi Chizda, that a Shliach that was made in front of Edom, even though there was no agreement between the Gazlan and the Nigzel, or the Shoyl and the Mashal, or the Loiv and the Malve, in all these cases, have a Shliach, it is a Shliach. I, the Imtarva Mishnah, say, no. I, you'll ask me a question from our Mishnah, because from our Mishnah is Mashma, that it is not considered, because our Mishnah is speaking about Shliach Be'edim, and yet it's not considered as if it's a Shliach of the Nigzel. So I'll answer you that our mission is speaking about when it says don't send it through a Shliach, b'mamtzi loy Shliach, where all the Nigzel said was that I am making available a Shliach to the Gazlan. The Omer Lay, he told the Shliach, Isli Zuzi Gabi Planya, I have money that the Gazlan owes me. He's not sending it to me. Is Chazale, appear in front of him, in other words, introduce yourself to him. Dilma inishu d'loy mishkach l'shturle. Perhaps the problem why he's not sending it to me is because he can't find a messenger. So let him know that you're available. So there, even Rav Chizda's moide that this is not called a shliach, because all he was doing was facilitating that the Nigzel, the Gazlan should have someone that he can send. But the Nigzel wasn't trying to say that if you give it to the Shliach, the second that you give it to the Shliach, it's as if you're giving it into my hand. That's when Rav Chizda would agree that he's not a Shliach. But Ein Echnami, if it was a Shliach with Edom, then the moment that it comes into the Shliach's hand, if the Nigzel appointed him as a Shliach with Edom, even if he didn't make it up with the Gazlan, as soon as the Gazlan gave it to that Shliach, according to Rav Chizda, it would be a Shlichus. Inami, or Kid Rav Chizda Beschir Lakita, or like we had the Teretz before, that Rav Chizda answered our Mishnah that's speaking about a worker, an employee, or somebody for a companion, or a person who gathers wheat for him. These are people who do errands for him, but they're not official Shlichim. Then Rav Chizda holds they're not a Shliach, but Einach and Rav Chizda insists that it would be Shliach Be'edim, even though there was no official agreement between the Gazlan and the Nigzel, it is a Shliach, and if the Gazlan gave it to that person, and any oinus happened, he would be Potter. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the Gemara now relates a machlokas that has a connection with the previous machlokas of Rabbi and Rav Chizda of Shliach She'aso Be'edim. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, if we turn to Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, one does not send money with someone carrying a symbol. As Rashi says, let's learn the top Rashi together. If the owner of the article that was given over for deposit, if he gave to his shliach a symbol, the cost of lechaismai, and he signed it, a signature, and he had a certain logo, which everyone knew was his. He signed the signature, Begaris, in a letter, Umosrulay, and he gave it over to the Shliach, Va'omrulay, and he said, Leich, and the Masoras HaShas puts in the word Vehera, Leploini, show this to that person, the shomer, who has this pikadon, v'yitn lachmoy she'esh libiyadi, and he will give you the money that I have as a pikadon that he is holding for me. So the din is, says Shmuel, that we do not give the money to that person who's carrying the symbol, v'afila edem chesumim olo, even if there are witnesses that are signing and affirming that this, in fact, is the symbol and the signature of the mafgid, yet if the shomer will give it to that shliach, he will still be responsible. If an oinus happens on the way, he will be responsible. Even according to Rav Chisda, who says that with Edim, a shliach, even if there was no agreement and no face-to-face discussion between the mafgid and the shomer, but if it's not in front of Edim, it is acceptable. But in this case, perhaps even Rav Chisda, even if Shmuel were to hold Rav Chisda, which itself is not so clear, as we'll soon see, but even Rav Chisda himself may not agree and may say that the Edim here are just to affirm that this is his signature, this is the Mafgid symbol, but not that the Mafgid is officially making the Shliach as his representative, and therefore the shomer, were he to give it over, would be chayiv until it reached the hands of the mafkid. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, and he says, im edim chasum olea, if there are in fact witnesses that are signed, them mishalchen, then the shomer could send it, and he will be potter if any accident happens on the way. Amri, they said, l'shmuel maitakanta, according to Shmuel, who says that even with edim, the shomer will still be responsible. So what takana is there? What can we do on behalf of the shomer that if, in fact, he's presented with a letter, with a symbol, with a signature from the mafkid, that he could give it over to the shomer and be potter? So the rishayim speak out, the lechayra, there are various eitzes. Number one, if Shmuel would say, like Rav Chisda, that if he designates the shlich in front of edim, then according to Rav Chisda, it is considered an aid. It is considered a shliach. So the Rashba says it's not clear that Shmuel in fact holds like Rav Chisda. Even, we spoke out before, even if he would hold like Rav Chisda, but Rav Chisda himself would hold here that here the Edom are just affirming that this is the signature and symbol of the Mafkid. So it's not clear that Shmuel holds like Rav Chisda. And Taisa speaks out that L'chaira, another Eitzu would be, as we learned on Amud Aleph, that if they speak Peh L'Peh, that if the mafkid in front of the shomer says, give it over to the shliach, then that would definitely be good. But here we're trying to find a takana when they live in two different cities and they don't see each other peh l'peh. What can we do? So the Gemara says, there's the following eitza. Ki hada Rabbi Abba, like Rabbi Abba, hava masik zuz David Rabbi Yosef Rechama. Rabbi Yosef Rechama owed money to Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba was the malva and Rabbi Yosef Rechama was the loiva. And Rav Safra was going to visit the locale of Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, Amalei l'Rab Safra. So Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Safra, "V'hadi da'as is when you come back from your trip to Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, I sinu na'alei, bring me back the money." When Rabbi Safra went to Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, Amalei Rava Bre, Rava, the son of Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, this is the famous Rava who argues against the Baya in all of Shas. So Rava said to Rabbi Safra, "You want me to give you the money? Mikosev lachis kabalti. Did he write you a receipt saying that I received the money? And did he give you a receipt for my father that once we give you the money, we will have a receipt to show that you received the money?" Amr leiloi. So Rav Safra said, "No, he didn't give me a receipt." Said Rava, "Ihachi zil bereisha. First go back. V'yichtav lachis kabalti. Let him write a receipt that you can give me, which will say on it that you received the money, and then I'll know that if an accident happens on the way, I am potter, because I will have this receipt to show that you accepted it." L'soiv, after thinking it over, Rava said, Amar Lei, Rava said to Rav Safra, "You know what? Ikosav lachnami iskabalti lav klomu. Even if he were to write that to you, even if Rabbi Abba were to write this lashon of hiskabalti, it still would not suffice. Why? Dil, because maybe ados is by the time you would come back with that receipt with the word iskabalti on it, and you had not received yet the money from my father, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama. Meanwhile, Shachar Rabbi Abba, could be, we don't know, there were no communications in those days, we don't know, it could be the Rabbi Abba, who was very old, and Rashi points out, and it could be he will die. Normally, the Paiskim speak out that one cannot assume such a thing. There is no danger of normally thinking a person might die. But in this particular case, where Rav Abba was a very old person, there was definitely a chashash that by the time Rav Safra would come back with the receipt, the word is kabalti, and give it to Rav or Rav Yosef Bar Chama, Rav's father, it could be that before Rav Safra receives the money, Rav Abba had already died. And then what would happen? V'nafla zuzi kamayasmi. And then the money would go to the Yorshim, to the Yisraim. Viskabalti de Rababa, love Klumu. Then this receipt from Rababa is meaningless because the money belongs to the Yisraim. And therefore, if something happened on the way back and it got lost, the Yisraim would come to Rav Yosef Bar Chama and they would say, we didn't get the money. Our father wrote his kabalti, but our father had already died. And the money belonged to us, and we didn't say his kabalti. We weren't making him an official shliach, and therefore you still owe it to us. So therefore, even his kabalti wouldn't work. Amar Leiser of Safra said to Rava, "V'elamaita kanta, what can we do? How can I make it that I could collect the money on behalf of Rabbi Abba, and that you won't be worried? And how can I do it?" So he answered. Rava answered, "Zil." Nakninulach Agavara. Go back to Rabbi Abba and tell him to make a kinyan on karka, on a little piece of karka, and then we have what's called the kinyan agav. That agav, the karka, you can be kind of metaltalin wherever the metaltalin is, as Rashi brings down the Gemara in Kedushin of Chav Vav, Nechasim She'en Lamachrayis, which means Nechasim you can't put a lien on, that's metaltalin. Niknin im Nechasim She'en Lamachrayis, they are niknin with the kinyan that you're going to make on the karka. So you make the kinyan of karka with Rabbi Abba, with the understanding that you now are in possession of the chov, and you will have in mind that if you get it from my father, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, then Rabbi Abba trusts you, or the Yorshim will trust you, that you'll give the money to them. So you let him be kind to you. V'ta'at, and then you, Rav Safra, will come. Kasavlon is kabalti, then you yourself can write his kabalti. And once we get from you in our hands this receipt coming from you, because you now own the choiv, so then we'll be satisfied. We know that we won't be chayiv if some accident happens to the money on the way. And then you will take the money and give it either to Rav Abba, hopefully he's still alive, and if he passed away, you'll give it to the Yorshim. This is the eights that you can do with Kenyan Aga. And we find a similar incident. Ki hodera papa, have a masik tracer of Zuzi Bechazoi. He was owed, he was the Malva, he was owed 12,000 Zuzim in the city of Chuzoi. Akninin alel Rav Shmuel Bar Abba. And Rav Shmuel Bar Abba was going to Chuzoi. So Rav Papa was makne to Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, Agav Asefa de Beisei. On a Kenyan Agav, on Rashi has two pshatim, either the threshold of his house, which has a din of karka, kachshamati, says Rashi, so I heard a pshat, or lishnachrina, a seifa doesn't mean the threshold, it means the end, some corner, end corner of the house, and Agav making a Kenyan on that end of the house, or the threshold, you would be kind of the chayv wherever it is. Ki also, when he came back with the money, nothing. So when Rav Shmuel Bar Abba came back with the money, so Rav Papa went out lapay to greet him at Toyach. He told the city of Toyach, he was in joy. Rashi says he had such simcha that he brought him the money that he went out to greet him to the city of Toyach. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah stated, "Nasan lo yisa keren." If the gazlan gave to the Nigzal, the Keren, and the Mishnah continued. But he didn't give him the Chaimish, the surcharge of a fifth. He doesn't have to go after him to Marai. The whole din of going after him to Marai, to give it directly into the hands of the Nigzal, is only concerning the Keren, but not concerning the Chaimish. Now the Gemara has a Chakira. What is this din of Chaimish? Is it a din of Mammon? Not only is the Keren considered Mammon, but the Chaimish as well has a din of Mammon. Or is it not a monetary obligation, but rather it is a mitzvah in order to receive kapara that the Torah says you have to give a chaimish. And there are various nafkaminas. One nafkamina is, can the nigzal claim this in Bezdin? If it's a din mamon, then just like he can claim the Karen in Bezin, he can claim the Chaimish in Bezin as well. If it's something for the that Hashem made for the kapora of the gazlan, then that's not something that the nigzel can force him. Another nafgimina would be that if the father dies, if the nigzel dies, the gazlan dies, then there's a shibud on the yorshim that they should pay from the property that their father left over. There's a lien on that property, and they have to pay up to the nigzel if it's mammon. But if it is not mammon, if it's just a mitzvah to receive kapara, then the children would not have to pay the chaimish once their father died. Let's see the Gemara inside. Since it says here in the Mishnah that he doesn't have to go to Madai to pay up the Chaimish, Alma, we see Chaimish Mimainahu, that Chaimish is not just a mitzvah, but Chaimish is money. The only difference between this money and Karen is that Karen you have to go to Madai, and Chaimish you don't have to go. But since the Mishnah is saying that the only difference is you don't have to go to Madai, it shows us that it has the same characteristic as Karen, because it was only a mitzvah, then there's no comparison between Chaimish and Karen. So Alma Chaimish Remainu. The Imai is Misham Aleli Yarshin. Therefore, since it's Mammon, the Yarshim have to pay. If they have Karka as an inheritance from their father, there's a lien on the Karka, and they have to pay up the monetary obligation of Chaimish that their father has accrued during his lifetime. Utnan nami. Not only do we have a Mishnah that says this, but we have a Brisa as well, which states, Nas nasa keren, v'nishba l'chaimish. If he gave the keren, Utnan nami is still in our Mishnah. Utnan nami, we learned in our Mishnah as well. Nas nasa keren, v'nishba l'chaimish. If he gave the keren, but he swore falsely on the chaimish, and now he admits that he did not give the chaimish yet, even though he said he did, he lied under oath. So the din is Harei Maisav Chaimish Al Chaimish. Then the Chaimish itself becomes Karen, it becomes a monetary obligation, which he lied about under oath, perjurized himself, so he has to give a new surcharge of a Chaimish. So Am the Chumshim Amainahu, by the mere fact that we're Machayiv him another Chaimish on the Chaimish that he denied under oath falsely, that indicates that the first Chaimish must have a din of mammon on it. Because if it doesn't have a din of a mammon, if it was just a mitzvah bi'alma to get kapara, then there would not be any new surcharge of a new fifth on the Chaimish that he lied about. V'tanya namihachi, not only do we have a proof from our mission, as we just stated, two proofs, but v'tanya namihachi, we learned like this in a brice as well. Hagoizlis chaveri. Somebody stole from his friend v'nishbaloi, and he swore falsely, umeis, and he died. Yorshim shalman karen v'chaimish. So the yorshim have to pay for their father, the karen and the chaimish. Upturim in ashim. The ashim, to bring the korban, they don't have to. Because Rashi says that even if the father separated an animal to be brought as a ashim, and he died, the halacha is that you do not bring the ashram after his death, but rather you wait until the ashram gets a mum in it, it pastures until it gets a mum, and then you redeem it. So certainly if the father did not separate an animal for an ashram, the children don't have to separate an animal. Rashi ends off by saying, ve'en kapora l'meisim. Because the ashram is certainly a kapora, and the children cannot bring a kapora for their father. So they're potter from an ashram, but they're chayav and karen v'chaimish. So the reason is because Chaimish is considered mammon, and therefore they have to pay the monetary obligations of their father, not only the Karen, but the Chaimish as well. Ask the Gemara, V'yorshin b'nei shlume chumshe davun hava. Are you saying that it's mammon, and therefore the children have to pay up from the inheritance that they receive from their father? They have to pay off not only the Karen, but the Chaimish as well? And now the Mesar Hashas tells us that the Marshal, is moichik the words that are in parentheses, and we pick up from right after the parentheses, v'reminu. I'll ask you a question, I'll show you that children do not have to pay the chaimish of their father. And what the Gemara now is bringing down is a Tyrus Kahanim, which Rashi quotes partially, and we have to speak out the beginning of the Tyrus Kahanim, which is not explained at all in the Gemara, and Rashi only alludes to part of it. What the Tyrus Kahanim is focusing on is a pasuk in Vayikra Perikei Pasuk Chav Gimel, and I'll read the pasuk first. V'hoya ki yechto v'oshem, v'heshev sakzei l'asher gozol, oyes ha'oishik asher oshak, oyes ha'pikodna asher hofkat, itoy, oyes ha'veid asher matzah. So the Torah speaks about four monetary obligations which a person lied about. He has to return the gzeila which he stole, or that which he cheated against his friend, or the pekodin which was deposited by him, which he lied about, or the aveda which he found, which he said he did not find. So the karen has to be given back. So the Taras Kahanim looks at the words veheshiv es hagzeil asher gozel, and the Taras Kahanim sees an inherent contradiction in those words, because veheshiv es hagzeil means any gzeil, even if your father would have stolen it. But Asher Guzzle seems to indicate only what you yourself stole. So either the Gemara should have, the Pasuk should have spoken in terms, general terms, any Gzela, or in specific terms of your Gzela. So the Tyrus Kahanim answers that it's speaking about two different items. The Heshev is like Gzela, speaking about the Karen, and a son has a Chiv to return any Gzela, even the Gzela of his father. Asher Gozal, which you stole, which he stole, that's referring to the Chaimish. So the a son, as Rashi picks up here, Rashi says, Al Gzeiloi hu mois of Chaimish, in the Divri Amaschal Adayin on the Oimer. Al Gzeiloi hu mois of Chaimish, v'loi Al Gzeilos Aviv. He only adds a Chaimish to his stealing and not to the stealing of his father. So let's begin the Gemara now that we have the background. Verminu, I'll ask you a question from a Bryce in Taurus Kahanim. Even though you just told me this chilek between the karen that's being paid by the son for the father and the chaimish that the son does not pay for the father, a dying on the yomer, I could still say that maybe there's only one out of four cases where the son would not pay for the father, and that's in the case where there is the least avera that is done. Because we have four different cases when it comes to a son and a father. We can have the least aver, which is that neither the son nor the father lied falsely. Or we can have where the son lied falsely and not the father. Or where the father lied falsely and not the son. Or where the father and the son both lied falsely. They swore falsely. So these are the four cases that we can have. So Adayin, and the Yomer says the Taras Kahanim, Amos saying in Misham Chaimish al Gezel Aviv, when doesn't the son pay the Chaimish for the stealing of his father? Bizmlan Shaloi Nishba Loihu Veloi Aviv. When he didn't swear falsely, nor did his father not swear falsely. So what about the three other cases? Hu Veloi Aviv, where he swore falsely and not his father. Or Aviv Veloi Hu, his father swore falsely and not him. What happens to V'aviv Minayin? How do I know that in all these other three cases that the son does not have to pay the Chaimish on the father? And now it's interesting that the Pnei Yeshua asks that what's the Hava Minna, that the Pasuk's only case where the son is potter for the Chaimish of the father is where he and the father did not swear falsely. The least avera, maybe in one of the other three cases or all three cases, there would be a chiyuv. How could I make the pasuk be speaking about only where neither the son nor the father swore falsely, where the father himself, if he didn't swear falsely, is not chayv chaymish? So if I say that the son is only chayv for his own gezel and not for his father's gezel, it must not be that case where the father himself would be potter. And the Pnei Yeshua gives various terutzim to answer this question. Ayin shum. But now the Gemara says, how do I know that in all four scenarios the son does not pay a chaimish? Talmud loimar, it says in the pasuk, which we read before, asher gozel. And it also says, v'asher oshak. And it also says, which the Gemara does not mention over here, it also says that v'asher hofgat itoy, the pikodin. Oyes aveda asher matzah. So it says four lashoinis. And I say that what are these four lashoinis? They're marba, that it's only where he stole, or where he was fraudulent, or where he didn't return the pekodin, or where he didn't return the aveda. But vehu, here the son, in this case, loy gozov loy oshak. He didn't do the gzela. He wasn't fraudulent. He wasn't the one who didn't return the Aveda or the Pekodin. So therefore, from these four Ribuyim, I have that in all cases there is no Chaimesh. The only time you pay Chaimesh is if you do it yourself. The father has to pay Chaimesh. The son, if he would steal himself, has to pay Chaimesh. If he was fraudulent himself, has to pay Chaimesh. But not for his father in all four scenarios. So what is our kasha? Our kasha is that we're bringing this brisa in Taras Kahanim. Now that we learned the whole brisa, the question is, you told me before that it's mum and a son has to pay for the father. Here we see from the Taras Kahanim, you don't. Amar Rav Nachman loy kasha. Kancha hoida, kancha loy hoida. The Mishnah and the first brisa that we brought, which we had proofs that it does have a din mumin, is speaking about where the father was moida. He was moida that he swore falsely, so he has to pay karev chaimish. If he dies, the son has to pay the mammon, that is obligation that his father left over. There's a lien on the property that the son has to pay up. But kan in the Taras Kahanim, where the son does not have to pay, shaloi hoida. And the Gemara's Havamina, Rashi says, was that neither the son nor the father were moida. And if so, there is no din chaimesh. Ask the Gemara Eloi Hoida. If it's speaking about a case of Eloi Hoida, Karen Nami Eloi Misham, then you don't have to pay Karen either. The Ravid and the Rajba explain why can't we say that you could, it's a case where you do pay Karen where there were Edom. They give various truths to this kasha. But the Gemara is saying that if there's Loi Hoida, you shouldn't have to pay Karen either. If you're going to say Einachanami, if it's Loi Hoida, Yitaka don't pay Karen either in the case of the Taras Kahanim. Vamidika Mahadir, since the Taras Kahanim is speaking about a Chaimish, Lameimer, this would seem to indicate the Karen Misham, the Karen you do have to pay. It's only Chaimish that the Taras Kahanim specifically states the son doesn't have to pay. It would seem that Karen you do. Vo'oid, Tanya, and not only that, but we learned Beferish there in that same Taras Kahanim, Adayin on the Yomer quote from the Taras Kahanim. Amos, I'm Misham Karen. Now we're not speaking about the Chaimish, now we're speaking about that the son has to pay the Karen. I would think, when does the son have to pay the Karen? That's only in the worst Avera. Al Gezel Aviv is Manchinishba Huva Aviv, where his father and he both did a lot of Averis because they both swore falsely. But what about in the other three cases? Aviv Aloyhu, if it's just his father swore falsely, not him. Huva Aloyaviv, just him, not his father. Loyhu Aloyaviv. Neither of them swore falsely. Menayin, how do I know that the son still has to pay to Karen? Talmud Loyma, since we had four cases in the Pusik, in Vayikra Hei, Pusik of Gimel, which we quoted before. We spoke about Gzela. We spoke about Oishik acting fraudulently. We spoke about Avedu Pekodin. So therefore, Yesh Talmud. There is Talmud, and we don't know what this peculiar phrase means, Yesh Talmud, and the Gemara is going to explain what it means. The Yosef Rav Huna of the Kamar L'Hashmaitzer, Rav Huna was saying over this halach of the Taras Kahanim that a son has to pay for the Karen of the father in all four cases, in all four scenarios, whoever swore falsely or didn't swear falsely. Amalei Rabba Berei, Rabba the son of Rav Huna said, what did you say, father? I didn't hear you clearly. Yesh Talmud Kamar Mar? Did you say the phrase Yesh Talmud? Or Yishtalmu Kamar Mar? Or did you say Yishtalmu? They have to pay. Rashi explains what's the difference. Yesh Talmud means that I have a ribui in the pasuk itself, which teaches us that it's exeris akosiv, that you have to pay the Karen. Yishtalmu is a swara. Logic dictates that the Karen you have to pay. The Chaimish, the son, doesn't have to pay, but the Karen, you do have to pay. Amalei, so his father, Rav Huna, answered, Yesh Talmud come in. What I said, what you didn't hear clearly, was not Yesh Talmud, but Yesh Talmud. Umi Ribui to cry, Amri. I was saying it from the Ribui of the Pasuk. That's why we have four cases of Pekodin, Aveda, of Oishik, and Gezel, to tell me that in all four cases, the son has to pay the Karen of the father. So our question comes back. If you're going to say the Taras Kahanim is speaking about Loi Hoida, as Rashi says, the Gemara's Havamina, it was that neither the son nor the father were Moida. If they weren't Moida, not only is there not Chaimish, but there isn't Karen either. And we see Beferish from the Taras Kahanim that there is Karen in all four scenarios. Ella, my Loi Hoida, you know what Loi Hoida means? Loi Hoida, Aviv, Vahoida, Benoi. The father wasn't Moida, but the son was Moida. So in our Mishnah and in the first brisa that we brought, where the father himself was moida, so there it's a din mamon, even not only on the Karen, but on the Chaimish also, so the son has to pay both for the father. But here in the Taras Kanim, it's speaking about the father was not moida while he was still alive. And who was moida? The son. So if the son's moida, all he has to pay for the father is the Karen. But the Chaimish, that's what we learned from the four limudim of before, that it's Asher Gozal, Asher Ashak, Asher Hafkad, Asher Matzah, that it's only if you yourself do Legabe the Chaimish. But if your father did it, you don't have to pay Chaimish, even if you were moida for your father. But if you were moida for your father, Karen, you do have to pay. So at this point in the Gemara wants to be Mechalik, that by Hoida, it's a Din Momen on the Chaimish, the son has to pay for the father. By Loi Hoida, if the father wasn't moida, only the son, then the son would only pay Karen, but he would not pay the Chaimish. We're in the middle of the sugya, and Amir Tzashem, and tomorrow Shir, we will complete the understanding of the Gemara in these various brises and in our Mishnah.